Welcome to the final debate of the 2024 Tulsa mayoral campaign. I'm Dan Potter, host of the KRMG Morning News, 5 till 9 weekday mornings. Joined by Skylar Cooper, host of the KRMG Afternoon News, 4 to 6 weekday afternoons on Tulsa's News and Talk 102.3 KRMG.
For the next commercial-free hour, Tulsa voters will get their final opportunity to compare and contrast the two candidates for mayor, both of whom were the top vote-getters in the August 27th election. Neither secured more than 50% of the vote in August, which has led to the runoff election happening hand-in-hand with the presidential election this coming Tuesday, November 5th. Of course, early voting has already begun in Oklahoma, and it continues Friday from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. and Saturday from 8 till 2.
Let's meet the candidates. Here's KRMG's Russell Mills.
Karen Keith has spent 16 years serving as a Tulsa County Commissioner in District 2. She's best known for the work she did to get vital levees repaired in West Tulsa. Prior to that, Karen worked as a journalist, spending many years at a local TV station. She worked her way up from camera operator to evening anchor. From there, she went to City Hall and worked with Mayor Bill LaFortune, helping get the initial Vision 2025 package passed. Karen tells me her priorities as mayor would include education, public safety, streets, and housing. Monroe Nichols has served four terms as the state representative for District 72, which includes a large part of North Tulsa, and was the first black man to hold that office. He chairs the Oklahoma Legislative Black Caucus and has experience working in the public and private sectors, including as a mayoral aide for former Mayor Kathy Taylor. He was the first candidate to announce his campaign back in July of 2023. His priorities include education, health care, criminal justice reform, and economic growth. Russell Mills, 102.3 KRMG, Tulsa's News and Talk.
Hey, Russell. As for the format for tonight's debate, each candidate will have 90 seconds at the beginning for an opening statement and 60 seconds at the end for a closing summation. We just conducted a coin flip, giving the winner the opportunity to choose whether to go first or second. Monroe Nichols won the coin toss and elected to go second.
So Commissioner Keith will not only get the first question here, but you will also go first when the closing summation comes. You'll give the opponent the last word in this final debate. Each of you will get 90 seconds to answer a question and 60 seconds to rebut your opponent's answer. If we as moderators feel a rebuttal might be warranted, we will attempt to alternate who answers each question first. But that will not always be the case here, so just keep that in mind. So some of the questions will come from us. Others will come from our listeners via the KRMG open mic.
But the first question comes from our current mayor, G.T. Bynum, who wants us to ask,
what are three things that you will do as mayor, and what have you done to date that should give us confidence that you will actually do those three things?
Commissioner Keith, we begin with you. Name three things you'll do as mayor and the experience you have to get those tasks done. You have 90 seconds.
All right. I will move the needle immediately on the homeless front. I want to get a low barrier shelter open at the old juvenile center. I'm working with the business leaders downtown who are going to help make that happen. And just today I was talking with Bynum about helping push this through the permitting department to make it happen quicker. And I have a proven record of getting things done for this community. I think Russell summed it up well in what he said, from the levees to economic development, getting an industrial park open in West Tulsa, to building a juvenile justice center, getting that passed along with mental health pods for the jail, getting dirt for Iron Gate, just lots of things. This is stuff that I absolutely love to do, and I will continue to do those things as mayor.
Representative Nichols, name three things you'll do as mayor and the experience you have to get those tasks done. You have 90 seconds.
Great. Yeah, it's a great question. And I'll say number one, homelessness, ending homelessness is something I'm really focused on. And I think some history around that. I am the member of the legislature that actually passed the expansion of the affordable housing tax credit. Tulsa County actually wasn't eligible before I got elected. Tulsa County is today because of my time in the legislature. Number two, work to improve student outcomes. I've spent a long history working in the education realm, co-founding Impact Tulsa, which still exists today, which is focused every day on ensuring every child has an opportunity for a high-quality education. And then making Tulsa the safest big city in the country. In my time in the legislature, I have, let's see here, voted to increase the retirement benefits for police officers at the city level. I have voted to advance the $18 million appropriation for sheriff's deputies and have voted for every trooper pay raise there is. I have voted in my career to invest in law enforcement at the city, state, and county level, and I'm excited about the opportunity to make Tulsa the safest big city in the country.
All right, Representative Nichols, voters tell us the top issue that they're looking at as they consider which one of you is going to get their vote is homelessness. And I can say that for my family, this issue, in fact, landed at our doorstep this morning, literally, as my wife discovered a homeless woman camped out on our front porch and had to call police to escort her away. Representative Nichols, you have said you would eliminate homelessness in Tulsa, at least on a functional level, by 2030. How would you do that?
Yeah, thanks. It's a great question. And I would agree, this is no bigger issues facing Tulsa right now. It impacts us from an education standpoint, economic development standpoint, a public safety standpoint. Our plan to end homelessness is online, but it starts with the investment in outreach workers to make sure that we are really getting the folks who are on the streets the resources that they need, making sure we're coordinating care across a number of service providers. Right now, we are program rich, but we're system poor, which is the reason why we're not getting better outcomes. There's some amazing people who are working on this issue. Then it is about the low barrier shelter, the affordable housing. And then at that point, when we got beds and spaces, it's time to decommission encampments and get people off the street and get them to a better, brighter future. That's how we're going to get to functional zero. We'll get there in 6 years, but you will see immediate progress. And that's the pathway to getting there.
Commissioner Keith, your plan for reducing or eliminating homelessness?
Well, I heard your story this morning, and I thought Martha was very compassionate in the way you all handled that. First of all, get this low barrier shelter done. I've been trying to work on this for the past year, and the city is jumping in now, so I'm really excited about that. The other issue is our permitting and inspections department with the city. Mayor Bynum has made some good strides. I want to continue that and really focus in on that, because working in the affordable housing space, these developers cannot get this housing out of the ground with all the longevity it takes to get through the permitting process. It's takes too long and it's too expensive. I want to make sure that the city of Tulsa is open for business. I'm very excited about all of the mental health providers that have come online. We've got Grand Mental Health. We've got a new 106-bed mental health hospital coming out of the ground downtown. Family and Children's Services is doing great work and making sure that all of these units are pulling together. And they are working now with our first responders, but I would like to make sure that when our first responders, we have enough that we are doing 24 hours instead of just doing 9 to 5 during the day. We got to have those teams set up overnight. So those will be some of the very first things that I will do.
Related to homelessness, this is our first open mic question from a KRMG listener.
Yeah, my question for the mayor candidates is, will you be enforcing the no camping law and clean up near 244 and Sheridan? Is absolutely terrible with tents and so much trash. Thank you.
Commissioner Keith.
All right. Well, we've got a lot of laws on the books, and yes, we need to address that, but we've got to have a place for them to go. You push them out from one area into another. So that's why it's absolutely imperative that we want to get this low barrier shelter open in very, very short order so that there's a place for them to go. And, you know, the other thing that I would like to see, I've been in contact with Tim Gatz with ODOT. You know, they don't like it that there's so many individuals camping underneath our highways. That needs to stop. They live there, then they also solicit on the streets, which we all know is dangerous, and we saw the end result of that just recently. It's not a good look for our city, but it's simply not safe. So we've got to tackle that issue. And I know some of it has to do with a ruling from the courts, but we all need to come together and work to get that changed so that we can get people off our streets. We have to have a place for them to go. So that's step number one.
Representative Nichols, enforcing camping laws and cleaning up encampments.
Yeah, you know, I'll say I had a really personal experience with this last Friday. Went on a ride along, and we were flagged down right at Admiral and Sheridan, right 244 in Sheridan. And there was a man who had overdosed and stood right next to him. I thought he had passed away. We Narcan'd him a couple times. We got him back. And around him was, you know, a situation that nobody should be living in. And I'll say it does take the low barrier shelters and it takes the beds necessary to take people. But then we have to get about decommissioning encampments. And how that works is you start in a geographic area and you begin to build out. It's not enough just to tell people you can't be there. You got to move people out, provide them services, and then make sure you kind of hold the line so more folks don't move into those places. And so we will have a very methodical encampment decommissioning program, which is going to get to the heart of what your listener asked about. It's where we can certainly enforce laws, but we do it in a way that's compassionate, methodical, and gets better outcomes for all of us across the city.
You're listening to the mayoral debate, the final debate of the 2024 Tulsa mayoral campaign on 102.3 KRMG, Tulsa's election headquarters.
Commissioner Keith, yes. Accusations of sexual assault and rape have been made against multiple now former employees of the Family Center for Juvenile Justice. Those former employees have been charged with crimes. The former director, fired. There's even a lawsuit over all of this. You are named personally in that case. In July, the Board of County Commissioners, on which you currently serve, assumed control of the facility. So who is to blame for the situation there, and have you done everything in your power to improve it?
Yes, we have. And just to correct you, Skylar, I have not been personally named in that lawsuit. It is the Board of County Commissioners. We will likely be thrown out of the case. It has been extended by the attorneys working against us, who are also happen to be supporting my opponent. Now, this issue, the county commissioners did not run the facility. Yes, we built it. Yes, we are proud of a world-class facility. It has been run by the judges for 50 years. 50 years. And we have just now taken it over after 50 years because we just had an absent leadership. And the end result has not been good. I want to remind everybody that the Office of Juvenile Affairs gave our center a clean bill of health in December of last year, and then it was in April when these allegations came out, and they are allegations. When those allegations came out, we found out at the same time as everybody else. So we were obviously appalled. I mean, nothing like this should be happening, but we have taken it over, and it has been, we've made dramatic changes. We have two very talented people in there who are moving the needle on everything. So I am optimistic about the future for the facility, and we'll have to see if we have to keep it long-term or what happens.
Representative Nichols, you have 60 seconds if you'd like to respond.
Well, I mean, look, I think the federal lawsuit speaks for itself, and the suggestion that it is it was filed because somebody supports somebody else, I think is not true, not accurate, but also really deflects from the fact that 30 young people were abused. I said this before, it was a systemic failure at the county that led to that. And I think there's been a lot said about it, for sure. And I think the federal lawsuit speaks for itself.
Rebuttal?
Well, go ahead. Let's ask the next question. And if you want to use some time from that, because it is about the same topic, Commissioner Keith, keeping in mind that the center is a county facility, do you see the Tulsa mayor as having a role in ensuring that the young Tulsa offenders who are sent there are not abused and the center's run correctly?
Well, I think it's... The mayor could certainly be engaged in those conversations. You know, it hasn't happened in the past, but it could happen. Let me just lay this out there. When you think about our role as county commissioners, if you have a rent house and you have somebody go out and they rob a bank, are you responsible? Think about that. Secondly, you could argue it was run by state court judges. It was also overseen by OJA. And who would have better oversight than a state legislator? Also keep in mind, our state prison system is like number two in the number of deaths in our prison system. State legislator here. How are you responsible for that, Monroe? Are you directly responsible? I mean, I'm just saying, there are issues surrounding this that we, the adults in the room, are trying to remedy. And there are people who are just trying. I mean, it's the only thread they've been able to throw at us because there's nothing else out there that they're trying. They're just trying to make hay out of this. And yes, an attorney who is supporting Monroe, the Smolins, they're the ones who are behind this. They continue to file amendments to keep things out there. So there's definitely a connection.
You have an opportunity to rebut. So 60 seconds.
So one thing, the last name is the same, but the two attorneys are different. The Smolin brother that supports my campaign is the one who cross-examined you in the death of Elliot Williams, not the one who has sued the county for the Family Center for Juvenile Justice, two different brothers. And so, like, as I'll say again, I get it, I understand it, that you're trying to make this connection that somehow, some way, there's a lawsuit filed where 30 kids were abused just to impact the mayor's race. Just isn't true and isn't accurate. I'll also say that when it comes to OJA, there's a reason why when they send notices to folks like the Board of County Commissioners, when something is wrong, that you're all CC'd on it, because the Family Center for Juvenile Justice is in your chain of command. That is not true. They didn't notify us about anything going wrong at the Family Center for Juvenile Justice or anything like that. And so I just think that's a little bit inaccurate and disingenuous.
So the same question, Representative Nichols, to you. If elected mayor, is there a role for the mayor? And what would you do to ensure that the Juvenile Justice Center stays on the right track?
Yeah, I mean, I think we all have a role for kids in this community. You know, part of our education plan is the creation of the Office of Children, Youth, and Families, which I think is a really important thing. And us thinking all the time how we're supporting young people at whatever phase in their life they're in. When I served in the mayor's office back during Kathy Taylor's administration, I was working in the juvenile delinquency space. And in addition to the after-school programs we created to reduce juvenile violence, we also had a gang intervention program, which worked directly with kids who were at the Juvenile Bureau at the time. So yeah, I do think there's some responsibility there. And I think we have to get out of our own way and say, oh, it's not directly my job. Building a bright future for children in this community, particularly vulnerable children, is the job of every last one of us. And I think we've learned we can do a lot better.
You're listening live to KRMG. I'm Skyler Cooper with Dan Potter. It's the final Tulsa mayoral debate as we head into the November 5th election. That's next Tuesday.
Great effort has been expended by Mayor G.T. Bynum's administration over the last 8 years to get answers to what really happened in Greenwood on May 31st and June 1st of 1921. There's a search for the mass graves of victims of the massacre, the Beyond Apology Commission, discussions about reparations and what form those might take. Representative Nichols, do you support continuing this work and why?
Yeah, I think it's I do think it's critically important for us, you know, if we're honest about our community. I think there are some divisions. I think it's really critical that we get past those divisions. I think on the issue of the mass graves, making sure we have closure as a community is really important. And doing that work, if we are to continue it, doesn't mean that we're assigning blame to any group or anything like that. It just says as a community, we need this closure so we can move forward united. I think the same is true about the commission and all the conversations that we're having right now. I think it's going to be up to the next mayor to ensure that as we are trying to respectfully close one chapter in our city's history 100 years later, that we, you know, approach the next chapter in our city's history united. And that's what I'm committed to doing as mayor.
Commissioner Keith, do you support continuing the search for answers about the Greenwood Massacre?
I absolutely support the work of the Beyond Apology Commission. And I think it's important that we engage and continue to engage with that community, because it is necessary for us to have some closure. And, you know, this is a tough part of Tulsa's history, but it's an important part of our history that needs to be told. And we need to understand exactly what happened. So, yes, I will work with the Beyond Apology Commission. I am not in favor of putting tax dollars into reparations directly to individuals, but I would like to see, let's try to get individuals into housing, and let's try to build up small businesses. Those are the two things that were wiped out in 1921, and then again when we put a highway right through the middle of that community. So that's where I'm very committed to seeing those types of actions happen in North Tulsa.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about reparations. This follow-up from a KRMG listener.
I would like for you to ask Monroe Nichols and Karen Keith how they feel about paying reparations for the Tulsa Race Massacre.
And
thank you.
Please, if you would, specify if you support direct cash payments to the descendants of those who lost everything in 1921 as part of a reparations package. Commissioner Keith, you kind of touched on this already. Please expand. Yeah.
I just think it's a very difficult thing to execute. And I've read probably six books on this. I just finished Lukerson's book, After the Fire. So I do know quite a bit about this subject. I just think it's very difficult. So I'm committed to helping kind of rebuild this community, get additional housing in there. And I'm excited to see, you know, what Comanche Park Apartments is going to look like when it comes back out of the ground. It's going to be a beautiful community with multiple layers of buildings in there, from affordable to missing middle housing to nicer homes. So there's some really good things happening. Kirkpatrick Heights will be coming out of the ground as well. And that's a plan that was built up by the community. Those are the things that I want to support as mayor. But I also want to hear what the Beyond Apology Committee is saying and thinking.
Now, Representative Nichols, would you support direct cash payments to the descendants of those who lost everything in 1921 as part of a reparations package?
Yeah, and, you know, I think we have to be careful. You can't bankrupt the city's future looking back in the past. But what we can do and what we should be doing is thinking about the data, what the data tells us today. The data tells us today that in the area north of where the race massacre took place, we got unemployment rates that are double that of the rest of the community. We don't have as much economic activity as we do in other parts of this community. So for me, it's more so how are we investing in the future, not necessarily, trading our future for something that happened in the past. But again, like I said before, we really have to figure out how do we approach this together and what are the really good ideas that are going to move Tulsa forward, playing the appropriate respect and reverence to those who lost everything and their descendants, but more importantly, building a city that's resilient for the future. And I don't think you can do that by bankrupting the city, paying for things of the past, but it's about investing in people to move the community forward, and that's what I'm going to support as mayor.
State Representative Monroe Nichols and Tulsa County Commissioner Karen Keith are live in the KRNG studios for their final debate before the Tulsa mayoral election on Tuesday. Earlier this year, Tulsa lost out, you could say, on the Sunset Amphitheater, went to Broken Arrow. And though the Jenks Outlet Mall just opened, it was decided years earlier that it would not be in Tulsa as originally planned. Representative Nichols, what would you do to encourage businesses to choose Tulsa while continuing to work with the suburbs to ensure success as a region?
Yeah, absolutely. I think a big part of it is how we work with developers, making sure we're getting permitting done, making sure you can get big projects out of the ground without too much trouble. You hear oftentimes that people don't want to do development projects in Tulsa because it's too hard to navigate the city and too hard to navigate the system. I think that's going to be a critical role for the next mayor. I think also making sure we're investing in our infrastructure so we are actually investing in the things under the ground that's going to help these developments come together and making Tulsa a really attractive city. I think we have a lot still to sell. Look, you can build outlet malls and things like that in a lot of different places. I think it's good for the vitality of this community overall. But the uniqueness of the core of this community, which is the city of Tulsa, I think is where we have to invest. We have an amazing story to tell. We have amazing things to sell here in Tulsa. I think as mayor, making sure the city's not in the way of that progress is going to be job number one, and then making sure we're jumping ahead and make sure this is the easiest place to get development projects done.
Commissioner Keith, same question for you. What will you do to encourage businesses to choose Tulsa while continuing to work with the suburbs?
So I love working with our suburbs. I have to say I've been at NCOG and chair of that for like 7 years. And so that's part of what I do. And I'm very excited to, as mayor, to attend their mayoral meetings. But for Tulsa, I'm sorry we lost the amphitheater. I'll admit it. I'm a little jealous. And the outlet mall, as a county commissioner, I was excited to see it to go into my district. And it's absolutely fabulous. But I do want us to make sure as a city we're opening up some of these sites. I would really like to see the site at 21st on the west side of the river there open and available for development. So I still see those opportunities. So, I mean, I want an IKEA to come in here somewhere. I want to push for that because I just think it would be really great for the region. So I will be a mayor that is out there selling our community because we have some amazing assets here, but we still have some missing things. But for every opportunity we've lost, we still have sites that can be developed. So I will be pushing to make that happen.
Whichever one of you gets a Portillo's hot dogs to come here will get my vote. I want to go a little bit further, though, on the second part of that question, and that is working with the rest of the region, because I don't think anybody wants to throw the baby out with the bathwater. If a business is going to come to Green Country, Tulsa is, at least indirectly, going to benefit. So you mentioned working with the suburbs. Yeah. How do you walk that line, Commissioner Keith?
Well, I believe that all of these things that happen in the Tulsa region lift all of us up. That's how I've always worked, and I believe that. And I think, you know, we're going to see, certainly Tulsa County is going to benefit from some of the taxes that come in through the outlet mall and Jenks. And certainly the same could be said, some great things that are happening in all of the areas. And, you know, as an individual, I worked on Vision 2025. That was a countywide initiative. And I left broadcast to pass that initiative because I was so upset about how dead our downtown was. And what we have now seen, and people forget, our downtowns were dead 20 years ago, and now they are amazing. It was because we invested in ourselves. And so I was part of that team that went out to sell it. And I look now at the Rose District and Broken Arrow. It's amazing. I look at Jinx and see everything that's happened there. It's amazing. I look at Owosso. I look at Skiatook. All of these areas have, and I look at Sand Springs. These areas are now really booming because we invested in ourselves. So that's, as a mayor, I will continue to be that type of mayor, but I as mayor, you have to be centric to Tulsa and how we grow Tulsa and make sure we're trying to get things to happen within our boundaries.
How would you walk that line?
Yeah, I mean, I think you have to do some joint economic development planning with the outlying cities. And that's really been the sweet kind of sauce for every urban metro area that's starting to explode right now. And you're seeing it in places that used to be farmland, like Northwest Arkansas. And then you look at the Metroplex down in Texas, it's hard to tell once you hit Melissa, Texas. By the time you get through Dallas, it looks like all one place, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so I think that's the kind of thing we have to think about, because at the end of the day, folks are going to choose this community for a whole host of different reasons, but they're going to want a lot of different types of things offered in front of them. I was talking to the folks who recruit physicians to St. Francis, and I asked them what was their toughest challenge in recruiting physicians, and they said the spouses. And so folks are looking for very diverse ways in which they want to live their lives. They want the excitement and vitality of like a strong urban core. And some of them, in addition to that, want to be able to live in the suburbs and do that kind of thing. And so I think it's really about how are we coming together to make these big pitches to both companies and people who want to choose a region where the opportunity abounds no matter where you choose to live.
You are listening to the final mayoral debate of the 2024 Tulsa mayoral campaign. I'm Dan Potter, along with Skylar Cooper. Both Representative Monroe Nichols and County Commissioner Karen Keith, you're both Democrats. I presume both of you are supporting Kamala Harris for president. You can just nod if that's the case. Both of them are nodding. As you are aware, 18 hours a day, KRMG runs national talk shows that are decidedly conservative and predominantly pro-Trump. I would venture to say that each of you has a fleeting opportunity at this moment to secure some Republican conservative votes. So let's start with someone who has a history with Tulsa, holding the first rally of his 2024 campaign in Tulsa back in 2020. Please tell us your thoughts on former President Donald Trump and why Trump supporters should vote for you, Representative Nichols.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I have a little different of a way of going about getting things done than President Trump. But I think if we're wondering what his voters would see in my campaign, even though we're different politically, it really is a shaking up of the status quo. It really is doing things a little bit differently. It really is going places where people would normally go and making sure, at least in this case, that if you're looking for somebody who's going to open the doors of City Hall to a broader number of folks so that everybody has a stake in Tulsa's future, I'm your candidate for mayor. When I started this race, there's not many people who thought that I was going to be successful. Nobody thought I was going to place number one on the 27th, and nobody really thought we'd be on the heels of making history on November 5th. But we got there by talking to people in all parts of the city. There wasn't a time because somebody was Republican or they didn't support the person I might be, you know, supporting for president. There's never a time that happened that I was afraid to go have a conversation with them, even if it was a tough conversation with them. I talked about wanting to be a mayor that's going to unite this community. It starts with going everywhere at any time, having the conversations about how we end homelessness, how we improve student outcomes, expand our economy, and make this the safest big city in the country. So if people want outcomes and accountability, I'm the person that they should support in this race.
Yes.
Commissioner Keith, your thoughts on Donald Trump and your outreach to Trump's supporters.
So I am a candidate who has worked across the aisle my entire career. I have worked with all Republican elected officials at Tulsa County and had no issues with that, as my opponent has really failed to get any bills passed, maybe a few in his 8 years, because he's very partisan. I have worked across the board. Everybody knows I've worked with our federal delegation to get all of the funds so that we could build out the levees. And I've reached out to Van Norman to work with me on my transition committee, I have already proven that I know how to work with everyone. The issues that we face here locally are not red or blue. Potholes don't care whether you're a Republican, a Democrat, or an independent. And to work with everybody, I have that proven track record. And everybody knows it, and I just want to do the work. It's what I do. I roll up my sleeves. I work. I try to get the best people at the table, and I don't care what your party affiliation is. If you can help lift up this community, that's who I will be working with.
And we'll return to, yeah, go ahead.
Well, yeah, I think it's fair to respond, and it's really interesting.
Seconds.
Really interesting in that response, the somebody can work with anybody, but takes a shot at me sitting right here at the table, which is totally fine. But I do think this is important to talk about a record in the legislature. There are 81 Republicans in the House. There's a majority of Republicans in the Senate, a Republican governor my entire time in the legislature. In that time, I've passed the Affordable Housing Tax Credit to expand it to Tulsa. I have passed legislation to protect victims of domestic violence, have passed legislation to reform our criminal justice system, have done really difficult things. And there's been times where I've worked across the aisle and said, you know what, if it's important enough, my name does not have to be on a bill. So for somebody to suggest that I can't work across the aisle is pretty ridiculous, because my record in the legislature would suggest a lot of success working with a lot of Republicans.
I tell you what, we're going to follow up with a question in a very similar vein from a KRMG listener.
With both candidates being Democrats, how can conservatives vote for and or trust that they won't push any sort of liberal agenda on our town?
And that is a very real concern of our listeners. It might be easy for a Democrat to dismiss, but it is a very real concern for our listeners. So, Commissioner Keith, let's start with you.
Well, let me first say, I think one of those concerns is, would, as mayor, I set up a sanctuary city? I can tell you, I have said this at every single event, there will not be a sanctuary city here in Tulsa. We will not do that. We are a welcoming city, and that means that we work with the legal immigrants who have come here. We've got, I just love what the Biden administration has done to build an incubator to help those individuals who are here. And I will tell you, the entrepreneurial spirit of our immigrant community is amazing. I so appreciate their culture and, you know, all of the things that they bring to us. So if that is a concern, it should not be a concern. And here's the deal. I will have a mixture of individuals from Republicans, Democrats, and independents working with me. So they're not going to let me fly off the rail and do anything crazy.
Representative Nichols.
Yeah, no, I understand the concern. I can appreciate it. That's why from the very start of the campaign, I've talked about issues and talked about solving them in an accountable way based on data, but also based on the progress that we're making. So it's been about ending homelessness by 2030. It's been about improving student outcomes. It's been about expanding the economy and making Tulsa the safest big city in America. And I've stuck to those issues because I think those are the issues that are important to the city, one, but those are all things people can hold me accountable for. It's going to take all of us to get to where we need to go as a community. But I think a mayor who has really, you know, kind of decided that accountability is the pathway by which you earn trust. And I think folks who are on all sides of the political spectrum can trust me because I've been really clear about my plans for this community, how we're going to get there together, and making sure every step of the way it's rooted in accountability.
You're listening to the final Tulsa mayoral debate on 102.3 KRMG Tulsa's News and Talk. I'm Skyler Cooper, along with Dan Potter, State Representative Monroe Nichols, and Tulsa County Commissioner Karen Keith, live in the studio. This commercial-free hour will re-air tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. if you miss anything. This question will go to both of you. Commissioner Keith, we begin with you. What will a successful 4 years of your administration look like?
We will have definitely moved the needle on housing for our homeless. And I will have fixed the permitting and inspections departments, and that will be done within the first 6 to 7 months of office. I'm committed to getting that done. I've been working with developers this past year. I understand what their issues are, and I want to work with our staff. I know we have really good individuals working there. We just it's a matter of kind of changing the culture. So I want absolutely move the needle on those things. And I will tell you, too, I will stand with education. We have incredible educators as our superintendents, our administrators. I will stand with them as mayor and be supportive of all of our teachers, because Education is critical to economic development for our region. So those are some things that you can absolutely count on me to do. I will also be working with law enforcement. We've got to fill that 140 gap. We are short because I want to get us back to community policing. So if we go recruit from other communities, I think Brent Van Norman suggested this when we were in the Keynes debate, and I said, oh, that was a good idea, but go recruit from other communities where maybe the police do not feel as welcome. Let's bring them here.
Representative Nichols, same question. What does a successful 4 years of your administration look like?
We are clearly only 2 years away from reaching functional zero homelessness because the plan we have is to get us there by 2030. We have 6,000 new affordable units out of the ground for people to be able to live in who are struggling to pay the bills. So we've gotten there. We've reduced blight by 60% in neighborhoods across this community. We have launched the Office of Children, Youth, and Families, and now we have young people who have the opportunity through after-school programs and enrichment to improve their lives and get them on a better pathway from an outcomes perspective. And we have not only began the work of hiring our officers to the full force, but we're also down the road in building a department that's going to help us be the safest big city in the country. That means that we are not only involved in the crime prevention aspect of it, but we've gotten dangerous repeat offenders off the streets, and we have no more backlog in rape kit testing at the city. Those are the things that I'm going to be focused on as mayor, and in 4 years, the rape kit backlog will be gone, 6,000 affordable housing units will be up, and we'll be 2 years away from ending homelessness in Tulsa.
Along those same lines, Commissioner Keith, after you are sworn in, if elected, on day one, what will you do?
I will begin putting the administration together. And I have a list of folks that I'm really excited about. But using my transition team, we will work to get the best people in line, ready to begin the work, because it's a lot of work that needs to be done and be done in short order. So that's exactly what I'll be doing.
And Representative Nichols, if you're sworn in, if you're elected, day one, what are you doing?
Day one is in addition to, getting the team in place, also, evaluating all the things that are going at the city that are the things that you didn't know when you walked in. Where are we on all of our capital projects? Do they all still make sense? Are they over budget right now? Where are we from the standpoint of the bureaucracy and how are we beginning to put performance goals that everybody can be held accountable to? Starting the budget process to make sure that the priorities that we have that we're talking about in the campaign are reflected in how we spend money. It is about ushering that new era of accountability at City Hall, and that's what we're going to be focused on as soon as we get there.
Our next questions involve public safety, and the impetus behind this whole line of questions can probably be boiled down to this KRMG open mic.
My question for the debate is, how are you going to bring down the crime rate in Tulsa? It is horrible, and it's only getting worse.
Can't put it any more plainly than that. Representative Nichols, what will you do to lower the crime rate in Tulsa?
Yeah, we released our public safety plan just, I think, last week, the full public safety plan. It starts, as I mentioned before, with prevention, making sure we're invested in after-school programs and make sure we're doing things in the community. So as we reduce crime, it's sustainably reduced. It does mean using intelligence and data to make sure we're deploying officers in places where we're getting calls at the times we're getting them. It does call for us to get the violent repeat offenders off the streets. I mentioned before how critically important it is for us to end the backlog of rape kits that have not been tested in the lab. And then it's about investing in community, right? So get the officers that we have to have, we're 130 short, get that taken care of. Make sure we're working to prevent crimes by investing in the community. Get repeat offenders off the streets. Test our rape kits. That gets us on a pathway to be the safest big city in the country, and that's exactly what we're going to do.
Commissioner Keith, same question.
I will be working hand-in-hand with Chief Larson to build up our police force to 140. We need that to get to community policing. And community policing allows communities to feel safe with the officers. They know them. They know their areas. And I've done a ride-along with TPD, and it's really incredible what they do in any one evening, because they will go, this wasn't in the nighttime, but they are all over the place having to answer calls. So it'll be, we need more officers so that they can be more focused in one area. The Real-Time Crime Center was a huge investment by the Bynum administration, and it is really freeing up other officers. They're able to solve a lot of the petty crimes. So that part is getting better, but we have to continue. We just can't. I know people are very frustrated by, you know, cars getting broken into, house getting broken into, all of those things. But I believe the real-time crime center is making a huge dent in that. There's little things we need to do as a community to get the lights on in some of these neighborhoods where they have inadequate lighting. And I've been in communication with PSO to kind of get some of those problems fixed. But it, you know, it's a holistic approach to looking at the whole community. Where are the needs and how do we address all of them?
Staying with TPD for a moment here, Commissioner Keith, mm-hmm. we've reported on recent internal surveys within the police department that found morale to be low within TPD. Why do you think that is? Why is that the case? And what would you do to address it?
Well, you know, I'm sorry that their morale is low. And incidentally, the FOP has endorsed me. But I do think under Chief Larson, I think if you did that survey again, it would look a little bit different. I believe that Wendell Franklin did a really good job for our force, for our police force. But and I think that's just always a difficult position. The troops on the ground, and then you've got, you know, you've got the administration. So there's always a push and pull on that. But I believe Dennis has been around for a long time. He knows everybody. He has worked every conceivable job at TPD. So I think if you did that survey right now, it would look a whole lot different.
Representative Nichols, why do you think TPD morale is low, and what would you do to address it?
Yeah, you know, I've spent a little bit of time talking to officers to better understand that survey. And what I believe the number one issue has been is inconsistent discipline within a department. So, you know, sometimes you do something and you get punished, and then across town somebody doesn't get punished for the same things, or the punishment is different, and all those types of things internally. So I think you have to really work on, in the mayor's office, bringing the expertise into the office so that it's not just the police chief, but you have that expertise in the mayor's office so that the mayor's office and the counselors can really respond to the challenges facing the officers who are in communities all the time. My dad was a police officer when I was growing up. My uncle's still a police officer, different cities, but they're both police officers. And I know sometimes there's a huge disconnect between those making decisions and those fighting crime. We're going to cut that disconnect down to make sure that everything from how promotions are done, that it's very clear, transparent, to how discipline is handled is very clear, transparent, and consistent. I think that's how you build an excellent police department. You build an excellent police department, you'll have candidates come into Tulsa because they want to work here because the department is excellent.
Commissioner Keith already mentioned that the FOP, the Fraternal Order of Police, has endorsed her. Representative Nichols, if you're elected, what will you do to assure police that you have their best interest at heart and to earn the confidence of the Fraternal Order of Police?
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, I think I've done that as a legislator. Let's see, like I said before, voted to increase the retirement benefits for police officers, voted to on the $18 million appropriation for sheriff's deputies, have really been there. Back when we even passed public safety districts, was there on that issue as well. My dad was a police officer, and there's been a lot said and distorted about my record in the legislature, and that's okay. But I've talked to officers regularly. I was just on a ride along the other day, and I think the decision that they made early on was a political decision. It was a political decision because it was very clear at that time from a lot of folks that Commissioner Keith was well ahead, and I think so. I'm not sure it was based on anything other than politics. So I think, you know, you got a clean slate. For me, this is not a case of because you sort of supported somebody else, I'm not with you. I'm going to fight for officers. I always have my entire career. Like I said, it's a family thing for me. I think I can earn the respect of the law enforcement across this community because I've always been on their side.
Commissioner Keith, your relationship with the FOP.
Well, I have the support also of Sheriff Vic Regalado, which I'm really grateful for. But I have always worked to make sure that the sheriff had the resources that he needs. So FOP, they know me. They've known me for years. And that's why they're supporting me. And, you know, I have to kind of laugh. My dad was captain of the Sheriff's Patrol for well over 20 years in Muskogee County. So he was a volunteer officer, but he was a guy who was out working when the storms were bad or running traffic for parades and doing all those things. So I'm definitely a big fan of law enforcement and so grateful for the work that they do to keep our community safe, because every neighborhood deserves to feel safe. And, you know, as mayor, I want to work with them to make sure that they have the resources they need and the number of individuals on the street to make every community feel safe. And hopefully the woman that called in, we can make her feel better about what's happening here in Tulsa.
You can be part of this. Submit an open mic on the KRMG app. This is the final debate of the Tulsa mayoral campaign. Dan Potter along with Skylar Cooper.
We're going to turn to a topic now we probably hear more about than anything else from our KRMG listeners. And to set it up here, voters recently approved the third Improve Our Tulsa package. It was a total of $814 million to pay for things like new city equipment, upgrades to city facilities, street maintenance. In the past, we've reported on this. We've seen Mayor Bynum highlight it. Snowplow trucks with holes in the floorboards. I reported this week about a fire truck that was in service for 17 years. We know some of those apparatus are getting a little long in the tooth, in service well beyond their shelf life. City facilities, including the police headquarters, leaking. Representative Nichols, how would you ensure those issues never arise again?
Yeah, it's about staying on top of it, that once you invest in something, that you maintain it well. And I think that's been the big problem, big issue. So I don't think you can just think, oh, yeah, we built something and we don't have to worry about it for 20, 25 years. And so I think it's the constant going back to making sure that our facilities are up to snuff and, frankly, doing an evaluation of how many of those facilities do we still need. There's a possibility that we don't need them all. And, you know, I was in the mayor's office when, you know, we were in the city hall that is now the Aloft Hotel. There is probably some real space where the city doesn't need all the real estate that it has, and we can turn it over for private development. So I think it's really thinking about that in some innovative ways, making sure that you're protecting the investment that taxpayers have made, but also evaluating how much that do you actually need, and is there a better purpose for some of those facilities?
Commissioner Keith, same question. How do you make sure city property doesn't become, you know, to that status?
Again, I think you have to take a look at all of the buildings, make sure that they are well maintained. And it's very difficult. I mean, at Tulsa County, we work very hard to make sure all of our buildings are in the best possible shape. But if you are not keeping an eye on it and keeping track, things can get ahead of you. I know the police court's building has been antiquated. Oh, I guess mostly for my entire career. And it's time to get the new building open. And that's going to happen. It's the old State Farm building. I'm sure you've seen it between Tulsa and Broken Arrow. And I think that's going to be a huge recruitment tool as well. It's going to be so much better. And there's a place now for both police and fire. I mean, even the fire department out west is not in an ideal situation. That building has also seen better days. So I'm really excited to see this new police headquarters. And then I'm going to assume maybe, Skylar, you guys have been down. I call it in the hole when we have bad weather or we have flooding or we have these incidents when we go down where TEMA is set up. You know, that will also be moving to this new police headquarters. So those are big improvements that are coming. But as mayor, you've got to work with your crew. We've got an individual who tries to stay on that at City Hall, Mark Hogan, and you know, see, he knows where the issues are. But the city funding is a little inconsistent, so it makes it hard.
Let's talk about the Second Amendment for just a little bit, because literally minutes before we went on the air with this debate, I got an email from a listener who says he is an undecided voter, but he asks, how can I support someone who is against gun rights? Please have Representative Monroe explain his no vote March 7th, 2022 to House Bill 2984. House Bill 2984, I believe, would have outlawed or would have set up a state law prohibiting federal law from regulating handguns within the state of Oklahoma. Is that the correct bill that I'm thinking of there?
Yeah, I'm trying to think back to what that bill did. My guess is, and I'm not sure, I mean, I'd have to go back and look at the piece of legislation. But if I remember the issue correctly, I don't really feel like there is an issue there. I think it was more of a performative bill just to give some members the opportunity to vote on something to show that, you know, to show their advocacy for the Second Amendment, but didn't really have a real impact on underlying state law. And I'll say there's been other bills related to guns that I have been against at times. Like, we now have an anti-red flag law in Oklahoma, which I was very concerned about, because those are the laws that say if law enforcement or a family member thinks somebody's a danger to themselves or somebody else, then, like, you know, we should, you know, be able to make sure we can remove weapons so they don't hurt themselves or harm somebody else until they get the kind of resources that they need to get on the other side of that episode they're going through. And so there are some examples where I've been a little reluctant to support things like that, anti-red flag laws. But the reality is mayor, those issues don't show up. We are preempted at the city from having any laws that are stricter than state law. I think we can protect the city with the laws on the books, and that's what I'm going to be committed to doing as mayor.
Commissioner Keith, your thoughts on open carry, the Second Amendment, and your thoughts on gun laws in Oklahoma and Tulsa.
So my only concern on the gun laws is making sure that we don't allow weapons in big events, like at the BLK Center at the State Fair. And our law enforcement, they also support that effort. I mean, that's my issue. I mean, I grew up, Dad had a shooting range. I know how to load bullets. I'm a pretty darn good shot. So I've been around guns my whole life. He had quite a few. But my issue is making sure, for a city, keeping guns out of our big events, you know, out of our parks, away, you know, where people can get hyped up over a ball game and their kids not doing great or whatever. So those are things that I am concerned about.
We're getting down to the last 10 minutes or so of this final mayoral debate of the 2024 campaign. And we've got a few kind of personal questions about your feelings about your opponent.
We do here, and we'd like to ask you, starting with Representative Nichols, how you feel about the way your opponent has conducted their campaign?
Well, you know, look, we are obviously competing against each other, and I think there are some things that have been frustrating. I understand them. You probably got people advising you to do things, but there's some things that have been concerning. But I do have an appreciation for what it means to put yourself out there for this long. And I've been very clear about the things that that I would critique as far as, you know, misrepresentations of my record. But there's a lot of noise when you're running for office. And so, you know, I'm going to not take this opportunity to dig into a lot of those. But to say, you know, there are some things that I think if once Commissioner Keith is done with the campaign may look back on and regret. And as we go down to the end of this deal, again, I look forward to being on the other side of the election. I think some of the distortions about my record are unfair, but I also understand that we're competing for mayor, and for that reason, I know I'm not a victim. I'm somebody who's fighting hard for the future of this city.
And Commissioner Keith, how do you feel about the way your opponent has conducted the campaign?
Well, I've not appreciated pushing out on Twitter and or X, whatever you want to call it, this notion that the county commissioners were in charge of the juvenile center when these things happened. So that started that ball rolling. And that narrative, they've just continued to push it out. So that's been very irritating to me. Otherwise, I would say that I've enjoyed being around Monroe. I know his mother, who I just absolutely adore. And but our records are very, very different. I've just done a lot. People know that I work well with others, and that's how I've been able to get so many things done. And I think we're just two very, very different individuals. But I would say I've enjoyed being around Monroe for the most part. There you go.
You guys have done how many debates together? Have you lost track?
Countless.
Well, we appreciate you doing this last one. I was going to have you both say something nice about the other, but I think you've actually already done that. Thank you so much for being part of this debate. But being now at the end of the hour, you have 60 seconds to sum up your case to our listeners. I'm going to refer to Levi May, our timekeeper. According to the coin flip, Representative Nichols chose to go second, so he will get the final summation. The first summation will be from County Commissioner Karen Keith. You have 60 seconds to make your case.
I've been around for 16 years at the county, and then, of course, 4 years before that with Mayor Bill LaFortune. I'm really, really proud of my record and the things that I've been able to get done. And there are issues at the city that I believe I'm uniquely positioned to work on, because I'm not worried about where's my next job. What am I going to run for next? I will be hyper-focused on making sure that we get our permitting and inspections department functioning for this city. The city of Tulsa will be open for business. We will get housing moving in our area. We will get the much needed workforce housing so we can attract more economic development. I will be working with law enforcement. I will be working with our educators. I am a known quantity, and people know that I roll up my sleeves and get to work with others. So I am so excited about the opportunity, and I would love to have your vote next Tuesday.
Representative Nichols, you have 60 seconds for your summation.
Yeah, I'll just say just thank you to you all who were helping moderate this forum. And thank you to the listeners and the voters all across this city. We have a real opportunity as Tulsa on November 5th. We have an opportunity to take the first big step in ending homelessness by 2030. The first big step in improving student outcomes, the first big step in expanding our economy and making sure Tulsa is the safest big city in the country. These are the things that I've talked about with groups all across this community since I started this campaign. It's been about accountability. It's been about getting things done and being very clear about where we're going to go as a community. I am focused on us winning the next decade. I think this is the most dynamic job in all of politics. There's not another job, no matter what anybody else says, that I desire or want. I'm here for the citizens of Tulsa. I want to make sure that this is a community that my 16-year-old has every opportunity out in front of him, and he has to go nowhere else other than Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Representative Monroe Nichols and County Commissioner Karen Keith, thank you both.
Thank you.
Early voting in Oklahoma continues Friday, 8 till 6, and Saturday, 8 until 2. Election Day is Tuesday, and KRMG is Tulsa's election headquarters. Our entire team will be fanned out across green country to bring you real-time results and reaction.
Skyler will be our election night anchor, and I'm going to be here as well with outgoing Mayor G.T. Bynum and former Mayor Susan Savage to provide analysis of the local and national results and to eat our election night pizza, because that's how we do.
Mm-hmm. We hope you can join us for that. On behalf of my co-host, Dan Potter, I'm Skyler Cooper. Thank you for listening.